Hi, the Black Talk Media Project would like to invite you to become a member of the BTR Community subscription-based social media platform. BTR Community is a platform that was set up for the listening audience of Black Talk Radio Network, the number one independent Black radio network online. For just $24 per year, your subscription gives you access to an interactive space to share information with like-minded people with your privacy guaranteed. Your subscription will go a long way to help us maintain and improve our current media platforms. It will also help provide a budget so that we can begin the task of establishing localized media centers and radio stations across the United States. The best way to show your support and appreciation for what we do here at Black Talk Radio is to subscribe. Help us to help you be informed. Join BTRCommunity.com today.
The views and opinions expressed by callers, guests, and hosts do not necessarily reflect those of the Black Talk Radio Network and Black Talk Media Project. Black Talk Radio is new black media for the new millennium. Talk Radio News. My name is Scotty Reed. I am, of course, broadcasting from behind the enemy lines of USA Inc. on this Monday afternoon here in North Carolina on this April the 30th, 2018. Thank you for tuning in. As well as we appreciate those who download the podcast and share it with others. Today is an impromptu live broadcast as the BTR News regularly scheduled live program is on hiatus right now, but every once in a while, especially if I have someone to talk to, I will do interviews or I get the urge or the itch, so to speak, to produce a podcast. So I'll do some of those live as well on the spur of the moment. So, but thank you, no matter when you're listening, to supporting the work of the North Carolina-based nonprofit Black Talk Media Project. Black Talk Radio Network wouldn't exist. None of the tutorials on digital media, especially as it pertains to radio, digital radio, none of that would exist if not for the supporters, the financial supporters of Black Talk Media Project throughout the years. And that financial support has come in different ways. So you can become a subscriber to BTRCommunity.com if you are a regular listener and you want to interact with some of the hosts and some of the other listeners, and you're tired of hearing about how Mark Zuckerberg or any other of these social media platforms are given access, like your name and perhaps your address, email address, to outside companies, people that they allow to create apps to gather information, even information on your friends. If you're tired of worried about all of that, if you're just looking for some basic social media, I want to share a video, I want to make a status, I want to share an article and not play games and all that other kind of stuff, take quizzes and what have you. That is how the app developers gain access to that information. So if you're tired of hearing about that, join BTRCommunity.com. You can financially support Black Talk Media Project by joining. It's just $24 a year. There is a 30-day trial subscription that you can set up. If you like it, stay with us. And we definitely want to hear from you. Social media isn't spectator media. Social media is where people exchange ideals and their thoughts and and opportunities and all sorts of information in a social environment. Being social being the key word. So definitely tell your family and friends, check us out at btrcommunity.com. All right. You can also just sign up for a donation on our website. There are a number of ways that you can give. We have the ongoing fundraising campaign. It's ongoing all year. So if you just want to give to the general fund or even set up a subscription, $5 a month, $10 a month, $25 a month, whatever it is that you can afford in the value that you place on the work of the Black Talk Media Project and all its different partners and what have you. All right, without belaboring anymore, let me get to some of the news items of the day. Oh, by the way, we do have a guest scheduled who will be joining us. Matter of fact, speaking of social media, I haven't even shared my own show on one of the social media platforms that I'm a part of. Let me do that now. But my show notes are posted in btrcommunity.com and obviously on the broadcast home at blacktalkradionetwork.com. Let me give out the phone numbers. Let me do that first. And then we will introduce our guest who will be joining us here in just about 23 minutes. Brother Kwabena Rasuli will be dropping in. But if you have a quick, and I emphasize the word quick, comment or question, you can give us a call at 704-802-5056. That's 704-802-5056. Hit the star key 2 times. That's twice on your phone, smartphone, whatever you're using. And that way you can signal me, the host, your host today for BTR News. And just watch your background noise as always. If you just want to listen, you can just hang out on the line and listen. Or you can also come chat, send messages through the chat at uberconference.com/Black Talk Radio Network. Matter of fact, let me make sure my Uber conference is running smoothly. All right, we're up there. All right, so those are the ways that you can express a viewpoint, ask a question on this broadcast of BTR News Live. All right, so today I want to, the headline is, and you have to squeeze in as much information as possible in the headline, and still my headline, I'm looking at it, it's still kind of long, but for today's topics, we want to discuss, or I want to discuss, and Brother Kwabena will be joining me later, and we will discuss, the Trump campaign used diamond and silk like slaves. And I don't mean metaphorically speaking. I'm not talking about prison slavery, but it's still slavery nonetheless. There are some areas I will expand my purview when I talk about abolitionism, and I'll expand my purview to where it is not the state enslaving you, not the federal government, not the local county, where it's not a private prison corporation, but you enter into a private contract with an individual or entity, as in Diamond and Silk's case, and you basically is unpaid labor. So what's a metaphor for unpaid labor? Slavery, perhaps? Would that be accurate to compare it to slavery? You know, that would be an accurate metaphor, basically meaning the same thing. And so I'll share the details with you during this first half hour about how the Trump campaign in 2016 used diamond and silk like slaves. And we will also be joined by Kwabena Rasuli, as I mentioned earlier. But did I mention he is representing Clear the Airways Project, which the Black Talk Media Project, for the past few years, we have definitely supported them in helping to get their message out on these FCC licensed radio stations, primarily targeting the Black community. I don't listen to terrestrial radio anymore. A lot of people use the YouTube playlist and what have you. So I listen to the music that I like. So I don't listen to terrestrial radio, but I do hear about it from people like Brother Kwabena Rusuli, who suffers on behalf of the masses, listening to these terrestrial radio stations put all kind of vulgar language out there on the airways. But in addition to speaking on that, it does relate to people like Donald Trump trying to clutch their pearls over some vulgar language, quote unquote vulgar language, from a comedian. What is this lady's name? Pull up her name right quick. Her name is Michelle Wolf, and she has worked as a senior women's issues correspondent for the satirical news television program, The Daily Show, meaning it's not real news, or they're putting a comedic spin on something that has happened. And some would say they have a progressive or neoliberal agenda. It just depends on who you talk to, but they have had many fans over the years. The audience was built up by Jon Stewart, another comedian, and it's now hosted by a South Africaner transplant, Trevor Noah, who migrated here, migrated here from South Carolina to work in the U.S. news media. And so she is a comedian by trade, and y'all know they have, or you may have heard, that they have these what's known as White House Correspondents' Dinner, which is supposed to be, you know, these people who cover the White House coming together with the president to tell jokes, basically, is what I've seen over the years that I pay attention to it. You know, Kwabena in an earlier conversation brought up Larry Wilmore, who also used to work on The Daily Show, who used the N-word in reference to Barack Obama, who laughed at it. And a lot of other people laughed at it. But, you know, from Brother Kwabena's perspective, and those who think like him, including me on this issue, is, look, we tired of black people being dehumanized. And that word is being used to dehumanize people on radio stations, on white radio stations, that if the white owners were singing these songs, you wouldn't accept the use of the N-word. But they decide who gets the airplay on these stations. And some of them are black on. They had a collaborators. But it's just hurtful and harmful programming. And so, you know, these people who are supposed to be providing you with news coverage, but in reality, you know, different government programs have been documented and exposed, like COINTELPRO, Operation Mockingbird, where these newspapers participate in pushing propaganda or disinformation to the American people and to the world. And in fact, you know, Donald Trump's administration is working on a database to put journalists in it, bloggers in it, so-called social media influencers, and then also monitoring how people react to the stuff that they put out across the planet. So, you know, I didn't see anyone from the White House Correspondents' Dinner, which, again, this organization, the members, it goes back to 1915. I think 1914 was when they was founded. But today, the people who make up this organization work for the major news and corporations like Fox News, like Bloomberg, like some of the others out there. And so these people are responsible for fake news too. And so, you know, it's kind of ironic that you got a comedian who at one time played a fake news reporter, basically giving the news in a comedy sketch. And of course, it was going to be politically biased. Not that I, you know, didn't agree with some of the skits that I saw politically. But still, it's still fake news. I know it's entertainment and what have you. So this correspondence, you know, this is supposed to be like prestigious, and you know, these are the people that the system wants you to follow. These are the real news, but they don't seem to be too concerned about the Trump administration through Homeland Security building this database again of journalists, bloggers, and social media influencers. I got to keep putting that out because nobody's talking about it. So anyway, this reporter, excuse me, I called her a reporter. This comedian who was somebody gave her, you know, time on the platform. Michelle Wolf is being accused of making some very vulgar comments. I listened to it. It was no worse than anything that millions of people was listening to on Netflix. You know, I can imagine Monique up there telling the same kind of dick jokes or pussy jokes or whatever. Y'all in the room full of adults, don't act like stuffy ties when y'all know y'all talk just like that, because it permeates American society. And Donald Trump, the last one to be trying to complain about some vulgar language. But again, contrast that with the language that nobody seems to care about, except for people like Brother Kwabena Rasuli, that goes out over quote unquote so-called black radio stations or radio stations targeting black people. And then last but not least, I want to talk about Natalie Portman. She won't visit, well, not really her, but I want to talk about the wholesale slaughter of the unarmed peaceful protesters walking in Gandhi's footsteps, walking in Dr. King's and other civil rights marcher who were signing up to get beat. That's, you know, they were sacrificing themselves just to show how brutal the system that's oppressing them is, that it'll even attack children and young people. So you have these young people, children, as the image that I'm using for this podcast shows. This little highly melanated young girl looks like she might have been 11 years old, 12 years old. And so these peaceful protesters have been moving towards the Israeli border in this nonviolent march, which is really basically talking about pointing out that we are a dispossessed people. And when the United Nations and the British and the United States and Germany and these other European and American allies decided to just kick people out their house and off their land and give it to Jewish refugees and call it Israel, that doesn't represent justice. No compensation for the land. Matter of fact, the way it was done was straight up terrorism. That's not to mention the many years of occupation where you had terrorism being committed against Palestinian people. Entire villages wiped out by Zionists. And let's just call it like we see it. All right. So that's been going on. And you had, what's his name? Pompeo is the new Secretary of State. And I'm still trying to read up on that information, so I'll probably make that the subject of a different podcast so I don't go down all these different rabbit holes during the broadcast. But this U.S. State Department seems to agree or doesn't have a problem with the IDF, that's the Israeli Defense Forces, which is wholly subsidized, at least 90% subsidized by your tax dollars. If you are a U.S. citizen, if you file any kind of income tax, pay any kind of federal tax, if you pay taxes for gas, whatever taxes do you pay that's going to the military industrial complex to get American soldiers killed in Maine for some unrighteous type stuff. But your tax dollars are funding some very unrighteous soldiers who are members of the IDF. That's their official military, Israeli Defense Forces. And international community, at least international, Amnesty International, which gave Colin Kaepernick an award for raising consciousness. But Amnesty International is calling for a military arms embargo on Israel. I mean, there have been some reports that I'm seeing as high as 8,000 casualties. Not 8,000 people killed, but shot, maimed, crippled, unarmed. And many of them are children. And there has been reports over the past few weeks of a number of journalists being shot at. Israel's even military has been accused of targeting journalists, which they, of course, deny. But journalists have been killed, clearly with the right internationally accepted identification with their vest on. Because there are rules to warfare. And Israel is committing some serious human rights violations right now. And the Trump administration is all on board, which I knew it would be that way once John Bolton got into the Trump administration. A notorious, I would even say John Bolton has engaged in what some may consider traitorous behavior while he was in the Bush administration, and he called the Israeli prime minister without the knowledge of anyone in his chain of command to tell the Israeli prime minister at the time he needed to put pressure on the Bush administration because people like Condoleezza Rice and other cooler heads on whatever the issue was, the flare-up was, I think it was calling for a two-state solution. And so this dude on his own, outside of his chain of command, against what the President Bush had already set out as the agenda to be, called the Israeli prime minister to undermine that agenda that was already decided upon by the Bush administration. In some parts of the world, they call that treason. Well, that's who Donald Trump picked as his national security advisor. Wow, think about that. All right, so that's what's up. I know I got Brother Robin coming on here in just about 7 minutes. And after we speak to him, we could really jump on this Diamond and Silk. But I'll go ahead and play the Diamond and Silk when they were being interviewed by a Congressman, Representative Hakeem Jeffries, a Democrat out of New York, and about whether or not they were paid by the Trump administration. And I'm going to let you listen to that. And then we'll save our comments for a longer discussion on this because it's not going to, you know, really take long, but I want to give it more than just a few minutes. But we're going to talk to Brother Quabena. But first, we're going to listen to Diamond and Silk talking to Representative Jeffries. And I'm going to keep my commentary to myself unless you've read today's program notes, which I published with the show with links to the video, which are later the podcast will be published to. I don't want to poison. I don't want to unduly influence what you get out of this hearing. I want you to pay attention to the words and then come to your own conclusion about what both parties are saying or whether or not both parties even agree on if they're talking about the same thing. So it's pretty interesting. But again, my position is, which is I'm not trying to influence you, but I feel like outside of this, and what this does reveal is the Trump campaign used the media personality, social media influencers, Diamond and Silk, like slaves. So go ahead and listen to that. We might have time to hear a music track, but we will be talking to Brother Quabena Rasuli of Clear the Airways about vulgarity, not just on the public airways, but just the hypocrisy of these people talking about this comedian at this White House correspondence dinner was being vulgar, and President Trump, of all people out there, clutching his pearls like, oh, he's just so offended. Give me a break. You know, probably heard worse on The Apprentice, which I've never watched, but I heard he did call Lil Jon a coon, so, man, come on. All right, so this is Diamond and Silk being questioned by Representative Hakeem Jeffries. The question is over whether or not the Trump campaign because they create these little organizations and what have you. They raise hundreds of millions of dollars. Barack Obama raised over $1 billion. Hillary Clinton over $1 billion. I think Donald Trump raised about $750 million, somewhere in that ballpark. And they pay a lot of different people to do different things for the campaign. But did they pay Diamond and Silk? And do Diamond and Silk know what's really going on? You're listening to BTR News with Scotty Reed.
Very distinguished witnesses for your presence here today. Question for Mrs. Hardaway. Have you ever publicly expressed an opinion about the presidency of Barack Obama?
No, because I wasn't into politics or anything like that. So when you say, wait a minute, hold on, when you say public, well, not when he was in office. Let me back up. If I had something to say, it was during the election, right, when they were running.
And what was that opinion?
That I didn't think he was a good president. He didn't do anything for the black community. Look at the people from Chicago, and he was from Chicago. So I had a very vocal opinion. But while he was in office, like, before the election, I didn't publicly say anything. Because I just wasn't into it.
Appreciate
until Donald
that.
Trump came along.
Now, are you familiar with a governmental entity called the Federal Election Commission?
The FEC, I am.
And are you aware that presidential campaigns are required to submit what's called campaign finance disclosure reports with the FEC?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And those FEC disclosure reports detail contributions made to the Trump campaign. Are you aware of that fact?
It could be. I mean, okay.
And the FEC reports also publicly disclose what's called expenditures or disbursements made by the Trump campaign. Are you aware of that fact?
Well, I keep hearing it. I heard somebody put out a news article that was out there, but...
Okay. Let me enter into the record, Mr. Chairman. I ask unanimous consent for what's called the post-general election FEC report filed by the Trump campaign on May 12th, 2017.
Yes. Can he tell me how
Sir,
much?
Mr. Gomer?
Okay. Without objection.
Thank you very much. Now, Ms. Hardaway, I think you stated on the record today, at least three times, mm-hmm, quote, we were not paid by the Trump campaign. Is that correct?
That is correct.
Okay. Now, are you aware that your testimony today is under oath, subject to the penalty of perjury?
Yes, we are aware of that.
Okay. Now, the FEC report dated May 12, 2017, mm-hmm, states that on November 22nd, 2016, the campaign of Donald J. Trump, mm-hmm, for President Incorporated paid Diamond and Silk, mm-hmm, $1,274.94 for field consulting.
Mm-hmm.
Are you familiar with that?
We're familiar with that particular lie. We can see that you do look at fake news. What happened is, and what should have happened is, you should have come to our mouths to see what exactly happened.
That's right.
Before a false narrative was put out there about the $1,274.94. So let me explain right now to you in the world.
Hold on 1 second, because I want to give you the opportunity to explain, which is why I'm asking the question.
Right.
I'm actually trying to figure, are you calling this FEC document fake? Well, actually, let me get some
clarity. No, we're not calling that fake.
I'm going to give you an opportunity to respond.
Okay.
I'm really just trying to figure out, right? Because you have an FEC document that clearly indicates that the two of you were paid for field consulting by the Trump campaign. That's just one document. There may be others that are out here. And presumably, this was a document filed with genuineness and authenticity by the campaign of the president that you so love. Mm-hmm. And so I'm just trying to figure out.
We understand
who
that this was
is
filed.
Lying here. Is it the Trump campaign or is someone not telling
Nobody
the truth?
Nobody is lying. However, there may have been a mistake from the Trump campaign whenever they wrote what the $1,274.94 was for. Actually, this was for because we was asked to join the Women for Trump tour back in 2016, and Ms. Laura Trump asked that our airline tickets be refunded back to us because we paid for those tickets when we went from New York to Ohio. I have the email right here which substantiates what happened on September the 11th whenever Laura Trump wrote to Allen to tell them to reimburse us. So that $1,274.
Well, now, let me just ask you one final question.
No, it was for a reimbursement.
I understand.
That's right. Not Phil Consulting.
I've
never been paid by the Trump campaign.
I appreciate that. And I'm just trying to figure out whether, consistent with what the president indicated, he urged you to monetize your support for him. And I'm just trying to figure out.
He urged us to monetize our platform, and there's nothing wrong with that. As you, as an African American, you're not going to make us feel guilty because we're going to get out here and we're going to take advantage of these platforms and monetize,
that's
just
right,
like everybody else do. I don't see you walking up to a white person and saying, "Oh, you shouldn't be monetizing that."
No.
So why are you, as an African American, making it?
Gentlemen's time is
wrong with us monetizing our platform.
I respect your game.
Gentlemen's time has expired.
It's not a game.
Of whether funds.
The gentleman's time has expired. And now,
okay, we're gonna give you something to mull over there, but it's so much to dissect there. But we'll play it again before we get into the deeper conversation. After the top of the hour on the other side, we have our guest joining us, Brother Kwabena Rasuli, who's joining us from Clear the Airways Project. So hang on there for us for a minute, because I have another clip, and I want Brother Kwabena to hear this clip before I bring him on. First, words are important, okay? Words are important, and Brother Kwabena is a friend of the show. He's been coming on a number of years representing Clear the Airways Project to discuss vulgarity in the use of language used every day in American society. So what is vulgar? Because that's the word that's being tossed around in relation to this comedian, one-time fake news correspondent on The Daily Show. But Michelle Wolf, to describe her comedy routine at the White House correspondence. And so it really wouldn't, let's define what vulgar is, because, you know, everybody don't have the same definition, and that's a shame that we don't have the same definition for the same words, because how can we communicate? But there's several interesting entries, and I'll just go through some of them quickly. But Merriam-Webster definition of vulgar is 1A, lacking in cultivation, perception, or taste. Coarse. B, morally crude, undeveloped, or regenerate, gross. And so many of these things could be a matter of perspective. Again, what are your comedy tastes? What do you watch on Netflix? Do you watch the comedians that keep it clean, or do you watch the comedians like Dave Chappelle, Cat Williams, and others who use foul language, even crude language? But you know what you're going to watch, right? You know what you're signing up for. So, but again, you know, I would have been respectful with my language, but I'm not a comedian. I'm not her. But there's a room full of adults. And some of the language that goes out over these news organizations' airways has been racist, whether it was overtly or covertly with the dog whistles and what have you. It's been offensive. It's been all it has been religiously bigoted. So that's a matter. I would see that as lacking in cultivation or perception of the individuals that they targeting, or, you know, and being morally crude, undeveloped, all these words. So offensive in language, again, language has been used at these dinners before. As Brother Rasuli pointed out to me, You had the other guy from the guy from the Daily News, Larry Wilmore, used the N-word in reference to President Obama, who was sitting there laughing and joking right along with every black face and white face up in the house, using this dehumanizing language. So the bar has always been low. Okay, but this is what we're talking about. This is what we're talking about. So none of these people have, as President Obama, not the Obama administration, not Donald Trump, not the Trump administration, not the Democratic Party, not the Republican Party, neoliberals, conservatives, not even progressives, seem to care about the filth and the vulgar language that's pumped over the public airwaves, publicly licensed from the FCC, with rules against vulgar and obscene language that they don't enforce. So why is everybody clutching their pearls all of a sudden? Because of, let's listen to what, now this is the, this comes to you via the Washington Post. I heard the whole comedy routine, which I laughed at. I laughed at some of the lines. Some of the lines I didn't laugh at. I was like, okay, she went too far. I don't agree with that. But if we're talking about First Amendment freedom of speech, certainly that's supposed to be covered. And all these people, especially those like Trump, you who have used vulgar language and put out obscene material, like racist material, misogynistic material, espouse these views, no sense of y'all clutching y'all pearls. But this is the Washington Post. This is what they deem fit for the ears of their subscribers. They just giving you a 3-minute highlight. So let's listen to some of the highlights as chosen by the Washington Post from Michelle Wolf's correspondence dinner speech.
Good evening. Good evening. Here we are, the White House correspondence dinner. Like a porn star says when she's about to have sex with a Trump, let's get this over with. And I know, as much as some of you might want me to, it's 2018 and I'm a woman, so you cannot shut me up. Unless you have Michael Cohen wire me $130,000. Michael, you can find me on Venmo under my porn star name, Reince Priebus. Of course, Trump isn't here, if you haven't noticed. He's not here. And I know, I would drag him here myself, but it turns out the President of the United States is the one you're not allowed to grab. We're going to try a fun new thing, okay? I'm going to say Trump is so broke, and you guys go, how broke is he? All right? Trump is so broke.
How broke is he?
He has to fly failed business class. A lot of people want Trump to be impeached. I do not. Because just when you think Trump is awful, you remember Mike Pence. Mike Pence is what happens when Anderson Cooper isn't gay. I did have a lot of jokes. I had a lot of jokes about cabinet members, but I had to scrap all of those because everyone has been fired. You guys are going through cabinet members quicker than Starbucks throws out black people. Democrats are harder to make fun of because you guys don't do anything. People think you might flip the House and Senate this November, but you guys always find a way to mess it up. You're somehow going to lose by 12 points to a guy named Jeff Pedophile Nazi Doctor. We should definitely talk about the women in the Trump administration. There's Kellyanne Conway. Man, she has the perfect last name for what she does. Conway. And of course, we have Sarah Huckabee Sanders. We are graced with Sarah's presence tonight. I have to say, I'm a little starstruck. I love you as Aunt Lydia in The Handmaid's Tale. Mike Pence, if you haven't seen it, you would love it. Fox News is here, so you know what that means, ladies. Cover your drinks. Seriously. People want me to make fun of Sean Hannity tonight, but I cannot do that. This dinner's for journalists. I watch Morning Joe every morning. We now know that Mika and Joe are engaged. Congratulations, you guys. It's like when a Me Too works out. You guys are obsessed with Trump. Did you used to date him? Because you pretend like you hate him, but I think you love him. And if you're gonna profit off of Trump, you should at least give him some money because he doesn't have any. Trump is so broke, he grabs pussies because he thinks there might be loose change in them. All right, like an immigrant who was brought here by his parents and didn't do anything wrong, I gotta get the fuck out of here. Good night. Flint still doesn't have clean water. Good evening.
All right, so that was the clean version from Michelle Wolf. Again, I thought it was kind of funny, and she was socially bringing some social truth. She gave a shout out to Flint saying they don't have clean water. But what they're focusing on, the vulgar part, is the P word. You know, because during the campaign, the video came out of Trump talking about grabbing women by their private parts and how they'll let any celebrity do that to them and what you can get away with as a celebrity. So she was telling pee jokes in relation to Trump, like saying that, you know, somebody go grab that P word named Trump, since he was too much of a P word to come to the dinner, and he gonna call himself boycotting. So we're gonna bring on Brother Kwabena Rasuli, because I'm sure this brother has been subjected, suffering on the behalf of the masses, to inform us about some of the vulgar stuff that's going out over the airways. I want to thank you for joining us again, Brother Rasuli. Do we have you on the airwaves?
Hey, man, how you feeling?
Doing the best I can.
I should say afternoon, excuse me. Yeah.
Yes, it is. It is the afternoon. So let me just set it up for you, Brother Rasuli, and then you could tee it off. So this is what I wrote about it. I said, you know, people like Donald J. Trump is feigning concern and clutching the pearls over vulgar language used by comedian Michelle Wolf, who used to work as a senior women's issues correspondent for a satirical news television program called The Daily Show. Of course, we want to hear from you, Brother Kwabena, about the lyrics matter, but, you know, we could, this program, say words matter, you know, because words really do matter, and of course, lyrics are words arranged in a song, so definitely applies. But Trump, you know, didn't go to this correspondence dinner and decided to go rally his base, and it didn't really get that much coverage, him going to one of these rallies, you know, because the mainstream media definitely gave plenty of coverage to the empty podium during the 2016 campaign. And then when Trump finally did appear, he was espousing some of the most hateful, some would say racist, definitely seemed racist to me, and the vile ideology of white supremacy. And even with as far as here in North Carolina, one incident occurred, encouraged his base to violently attack dissenters at some of these rallies, you know, people with opposing views who bought tickets and got up in there and maybe had a sign or said some chants and were violently attacking Trump, saying, get them out of here, you know. So what do you think about this all in the context of what you, and how it relates to what you hear on the FCC license airways, and feel free to drop lyrics on us?
It's about the children, man. I mean, I saw a comedian, Tracy Morgan, last week. I went to watch his show finally, 9:30 in the evening, dropping in bombs, saying that same word that this woman here was saying the other night, you know, P-U word. He said that. I was like, did he just say that? You know, and our children, you know, that FCC regulations, it says between 6 and 10, you know, you can't play this this indecent and profane content. Between 10 o'clock at night and 6 in the morning, sometimes they allow, they provide you a safe harbor to play that crap because our children are most likely not listening. But the obscene content, they say, is never allowed. You had talked about that a little while ago. Never allowed. And that's what, when it comes to their stations that they regulate. And for the reasons we know. And so, yeah, man, so just listening to this, checking it out, like you said, seeing all the uproar. My first thought was that, okay, you had Larry Wilmore, like you mentioned earlier, a couple of years ago on Barack Obama's last correspondence dinner, drop an N-bomb straight on him. Straight on him. I mean, he's laughing. I mean, when, you know, where was the outrage for that? Where was our outrage? You know, where's our outrage for that? And then less than a year later, you got Kendrick Lamar getting a Pulitzer Prize for an album where he's dropping dozens of N-bombs and under the guise that it's now a different meaning because of some ancient work that some people have done to look up that word. And so now it's cool to the extent that they're going to give him a Pulitzer Prize. And so, man, it's our children. I mean, like you said earlier, to have to endure this and part of what we do, like we have this campaign right now. We have a couple of campaigns. You mentioned hashtag Lyrics Matter, and which is also, by the way, the theme for this year's Black Music Month, which is every June. Lyrics Matter is the theme. But hashtag Lyrics Matter, we also have hashtag No Destructive Music. And so with that, we say no listening to, no purchasing, or no dancing to destructive music, music with dangerous lyrics. And so what we do when we turn the radio on, these ratchet stations on, I don't call a listener here anymore. I'm kind of cheating a little bit, but it's also for my psychological benefit. I said we're monitoring the music. Because I'd be out in my yard mowing the lawn and working, and then some of these songs would get in my head, and they're so horrible, brother. And I'm beyond a grown man, and this is what they target our children with. Just today, man, I filed 5 complaints with the FCC just today. Just today. And I got to the point where I was like, man, I got to turn it off. I had to turn it off. You know, and these are, again, stations that target our children.
What are some of those songs or lyrics that prompted you to file those 5 complaints?
There's a song, like, you know, Drake had the number one song in the country, God's Plan. And there's another song that he's done, I can't think of the name of it, but he got the sister from the Black Panther movie. He has Tracy Ross, and I think it's the girl that plays her daughter or something in Blackish show, and they're all happy to be in this video. But I look at the lyrics of this video, and all sorts of N-bombs are in that one, too. You got the sisters out there bigging up the sisters, but you calling their husbands and their sons ends. And so Drake has a song he did with this guy, Lil Boy, his name escapes me right now. And the song, Drake talks on that song about, well, I'm gonna ride, if you ride up on the side of me, I'm gonna send you to the other side. So basically, I'm gonna shoot and kill you. And so there's another song that they played on the radio this morning by the same artist called Shoot. The song is simply entitled Shoot. The dude's name is Block Boy JB out of Memphis, Tennessee. And in this song, Shoot, they repeat the word shoot dozens of times. Shoot, 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 shoot. Just shoot, 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 shoot. And this fool talks about he's going to keep shooting until this dude died. And he's going to say that the guy committed suicide, is what he says about it. Well, he committed suicide. Then he goes on to say, but he's in a wheelchair. And, you know, he's in a wheelchair for the rest of his life. So first of all, it's ignorant because you're shooting somebody and you're killing them, but yet they're still in a wheelchair. And this is what they're playing on Chicago radio. And he got a line in there, I call it Little Caesars, because that beat stay hot and ready. And, you know, and a sister told me the other day, she was asking a child in school, what do you mean by that girl's like Little Caesar? And the girl told her, oh, because she's always hot and ready. Always hot and ready. And that's one example of a new song I heard for the first time today on these stations. The last song that we heard when we said we had to turn that crap off was a song with Nicki Garbage and Yo Gotti, Down in the DM, which has been out quite a while, but they still play this crap. She talks about it, how she's not going to turn, she gets more head than Peggy Bundy. You know, and how would I look like trying to turn down some brain, and just Nicki Garbage. And then they're playing Cardi B, of course, with G-Eazy, F with me and get some money. And she says, F him, then I get some money. She repeats that 4 times. And so what's the difference between effing somebody to get some money and what's happening in the case of the whole Bill Cosby situation, of the whole situation with even the Weinstein, even with the Rick Ross and others, and R. Kelly. And also there's a new thing out right now, says hashtag mute R. Kelly. But what's the difference in that when you got a rapper, a female rapper, saying I'm going to F him and get some money, than these women who get caught up in these situations and get exploited and abused and assaulted?
I mean,
and
really,
they're quiet for some time now because they're under the guise of, okay, let me
chime in,
make some money.
Let me chime in right there. Now, I published this on Black Talk Radio Network about a week, maybe 2 weeks ago. But there is this black woman who was arrested in Colorado because she was running a sexual trafficking ring in multi-states. She had one setting up one in Colorado, in Arizona, in Michigan, and I forget the other state. Might have been Mississippi or somewhere like that. But they also, and she would recruit these young runaways, man. And so you think about if they listening to that type of music from artists like Nicki Minaj, who y'all have labeled, Nicki Garbage, it's okay to trade sex for money. And that's been programmed into them over and over. And so I guess when this woman make that pitch, it's perfect to throw some Nicki Garbage on with her saying. You know what I'm saying, Brother Quabin?
I know exactly what you're saying, and that's the point we're making. And the thing about it, though, brother, is it targeting our children with this. The sister who worked with Rage Against the Ratchet out of Philly, you know, with Brother Carvin and Harold knows, her name is Candace. I can't recall Candace's last name right now, but she's in Orlando, and she ran a women's shelter, not just a women's shelter, a teenage runaway shelter. And she wasn't dealing with this issue. What got her to deal with this issue was interviewing the girls and talking to the girls. They tell her about how the music influenced them to do the runaways, to, and they get involved in the sex trafficking. And so she's helping to rescue them. And so she started a campaign, the 6 to 9 campaign, with putting tape over their mouths and saying, you know, the same thing with us with this music. Stop playing this vulgar, vile, misogynistic music on these stations. And so, brother, man, with this whole Me Too movement, hashtag Me Too movement, we've been discussing not just that. We've been talking about the hashtag Never Again movement, the hashtag Time's Up movement. These movements that deal with misogyny and Hollywood, and also deal with this violence, this school violence. I said, why aren't y'all dealing with this, with the music that targets our children? I mean, we see videos of children out of school marching or demonstrating on the anniversary of the Columbine massacre, in response to what happened in Florida. But yet the music they're playing at the same time is music from the Migos, who says, I'm going to run up in your house and your moms might be at home. I'm going to run up in your house with a shoddy and your moms might be at home. And so
how can that escape people's consciousness, though? How does that double standard, you know, escape the purview of the organizers? Now, we talking about children, but I know adults was consulting and all of that. How does that escape you? Because at the same time, I've said this years ago, and possibly to you, Brother Quabina, when my daughters were in middle school, high school, and played basketball, they didn't play basketball in high school, but even in middle school, when they were playing seventh grade basketball, and I go to some of these games and some of this inappropriate music is played during halftime and intermissions and what have you, because it's coming right on the radio. So it's so pervasive, but it goes against the type of environment that you say you're trying to create, a family-friendly environment. If you want a family-friendly community, how can you allow this sort of programming to go out over FCC licensed airways outside of what's even against the law?
It has to be checked. I know we talked to our comrades again with Rage Against the Ratchet. They were constantly filing those complaints. We had a forum recently where we got together and the people in there at the same time, we filed the complaints as I brought a radio in. We had almost every song they played, we were able to file a complaint on. That's crazy. And brother, you know, I officiate basketball. So I'm at a game, a girls varsity game, last game of the year. So all the grandparents and parents are there and the DJ's playing G-Eazy, F them, then I get some money. And so he had to be checked. I went up between the game, it was at halftime or after the game? No, at halftime, and went and checked the DJ about playing that crap. And I talked to some of the grandparents, y'all know what they say? I don't like it. They don't be knowing. A lot of times they don't know. A lot of times they do. A lot of times they don't know. Walter Beach, a brother, activist, athlete. He played ball with Cleveland with Jim Brown. They won a championship back in the day. He was in the building when we see that famous picture with Jim Brown, Muhammad Ali, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, and Bill Russell. And you got the mayor, Carl Stokes, Walter Beach, and Willie Davis, and others in the back. That famous picture, you know what I'm talking about?
Yes.
He's
been a guest on he's been a guest on the radio station here on Black Talk Radio Network, the Cows. He did an interview on the Cows program.
Okay, right on. Yeah, so Brother Beach was talking about how he's at a basketball game for his, I think it was granddaughter or something, and they playing this wild, vulgar, violent music. It's disrespectful. The main part about this, brother, is it's so disrespectful. When I was coming up, maybe you coming up, others, you know, our music has always been, to a certain extent, some provocativeness in it. You know, we've always talked about making love, you know, and things like that. But not to the point where it is like it is now. And just
not
out
in
there,
a vulgar
just
manner.
Like they're doing at the Correspondents' Dinner, just dropping P-bombs like it ain't no big deal.
Not in a vulgar manner. And
yeah.
Marvin Gaye comes to mind, but ironically and tragically, when he came out with Sexual Healing is when his father killed him.
Yeah, exactly, man. And it's, you know, we were talking with Bob Lowe, and we had Bob on recently too, and he was talking about these artists need to understand that what they do, what they have, is more than just for entertainment. It is a weapon.
It is
a weapon that in the conditions that we are in right now as a people, the masses of our people, that weapon needs to be used to uplift and educate and help and heal the people. You know, they have a special weapon in their hands, and so we just got to get that across. Use it for the people. Use it for our liberation. You can have fun and party and dance to it and make love to it, but use it where it's going to be uplifting us. And the fact that they are putting this on our children. I mean, I did a rap. I was in L.A. recently, and we were at Marcus Garvey School. This is an independent African center school. So we're there talking to 4th through 7th or 8th graders, something like that, and we were talking about the music. Man, we did the presentation, and they knew just about all the music we were talking about. And when we said artists like Cardi B and stuff like that, the girls were like cringing. They were doing it. They know how crappy that is. I asked the question, if Young Metro don't trust you, the children responded, I'm going to shoot you. I look over at the instructors. They're like, what? The instructors didn't even know. But the children know. The 9-year-olds know. The 10-year-olds know. You know, when I say I got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, they said it. Shooters, ready to gun you down. Look at the instructors. They didn't know that was in the song that's played 20 times a day on the radio.
Yeah, there's
no rotation on the radio. But the children knew it.
Yeah, there's no excuse for teachers and other members of the community that work directly with children not know what the children are plugged into. That's supposed to be your job to know and raise some. Because I would say teachers sometimes are on the front line, that where a parent may not even know that their children acting out or engaged in a certain behavior, that teacher will hear stuff from other students at the school, and they will know. So they're the front lines of this. And so I would like to see teachers and teacher unions, try to adopt a curriculum possibly written by you, Brother Kwabena, you know, where at least they bringing in people in the school and warning parents, not just a workshop for the children, but a workshop for the parents and the children and the entire community on the harmful impact of this vulgar music. Now, as we get ready to wrap it up with you, I want to encourage the listeners, anyone listening to this now or later on podcast, tweet at Donald Trump. Y'all know we live on Twitter. Tweet at some of your congressmen, but definitely tweet at Donald Trump. Tweet at Ajit Pai or the FCC, and then hashtag it with vulgar radio, since that's the buzzword that they using today and will be using over the next couple of days. Hit Donald Trump up on the vulgar music. Hit up some of these radio stations locally. Y'all know they got that type of music, and hashtag them with vulgar music and ask them why they tolerate vulgar music in their programming. Hit up their advertisers as well. You know, Walmart, why are you running advertisement on this vulgar radio? So, Brother Kwabena, as you get ready to leave us, please leave us with some final words and tell us more about, you said it's going to be during Black Music Month, but again, you know, the hashtag Lyrics Matter. That'll be in June during Black Music Month.
June, yeah, that's the thing for Black Music Month is hashtag Lyrics Matter. Right now, we're already dealing with that. You can check us out on Twitter at Lyrics Matter. Also, NBLA Now, which is the National Black Leadership Alliance Twitter page, Clear the Airways Project. And so that's what we're saying, man. And it's obvious because the people know when we talk to them about it. They know. There was a documentary we went to the other day called The Killing of the Fifth Element. You know, as we know, hip-hop has five elements. People really pretty much know about the four, the graffiti art, the b-boying, the DJing, and the rapping. But that fifth element is knowledge. And so it's a beautiful documentary entitled, again, The Killing of the Fifth Element. Hopefully it'll be spreading around the country because it deals with a lot of these issues. It deals with the fact that they drop all these N-bombs in this music. It deals with the misogyny, the violence, and why this music is promoted. And so it's done as a plan. They know exactly what they're doing. And so we continue to struggle against it, man. We're down with the people who are saying hashtag mute R. Kelly. R. Kelly's had a concert scheduled for Chicago, UIC. People at UIC got together, wrote a letter to the chancellor, and he's out of that concert now. They're trying to get him out of the one in Greensboro. We got a women's coalition, a black women's coalition, part of the Me Too movement, who I guess they understand that y'all ain't dealing with our issues, so now they're getting on Kelly, and we're saying the walls are closing in on you ratchet rappers, on you and you killer radio stations that are targeting our children, our little girls with this madness, and it has to stop. And I'm so glad that they're doing that. And, you know, we need help in getting these beasts off the backs of our children.
All right. If you're on Facebook, check out Clear the Airways Project. Just type that in the Facebook native search engine, built-in search engine. That's Clear the Airways Project. Like the page, follow the page, share the page. How can they get at you on Twitter, Brother Kwabena?
At Clear the Airways Project, or you can get a hold of me at National Black Leadership Alliance also. And, brother, and also, man, the piece we did on Bill Cosby, if it ain't cool for Bill Cosby, it's not cool for Slop Hot Radio to be saying, I'm going to get at H some ecstasy and she's going to get a train ran on her by every person or every in the party. And that's the type of crap they play on the radio, too. If it ain't cool for him, he's getting indicted and going to jail at 80 years old. It ain't cool for 50-year-old and 40-year-old and 30-year-old grown men to be telling our children, 20-year-old grown men, telling our daughters they should be on Molly and to be getting sexually assaulted and have somebody be ejaculating their face, which is the big thing they're doing in the radio now, in the music now. And about five or six songs where they say that in the music.
Wow. Well, thanks.
On the radio. They play it on the radio. I'm sorry, but I'm getting fired up as I speak to you.
As you should be. As you should be. And we hope that you keep that fire burning as you have for these last few years because, you know, they not hearing us, so we got to keep hollering so they hear us. So I respect the work that you do and everybody out there doing the same work. But until next time, thanks again for stopping in on BTR News.
All right, brother. Appreciate you, man. One love. We'll be in touch.
All right. That was Brother Kwabena Rasuli of Clear the Airways Project. Again, check him out on social media. He's on Twitter as well as on Facebook. We're going to take a station identification break. Again, Black Talk Radio Network, therefore Black Talk Radio News. We're only online and on air and hopefully on point because of your financial contributions. So find a way that you can contribute to keeping this platform on the air for another 9 years, all right? So you can also join us at btrcommunity.com, and you're going to hear a quick word on that. You're listening to BTR News with Scotty Reed on this Monday afternoon on the Black Talk Radio Network.
Hi, the Black
Talk Media Project would like to invite you to become a member of the BTR Community subscription-based social media platform. BTR Community is a platform that was set up for the listening audience of Black Talk Radio Network, the number one independent Black radio network online. For just $24 per year, your subscription gives you access to an interactive space to share information with like-minded people with your privacy guaranteed. Your subscription will go a long way to help us maintain and improve our current media platforms. It will also help provide a budget so that we can begin the task of establishing localized media centers and radio stations across the United States. The best way to show your support and appreciation for what we do here at Black Talk Radio is to subscribe. Help us to help you be informed. Join BTRCommunity.com today.
Speech.
Daddy, whatever happened to you and mommy?
Well, baby, that's complicated, but I'ma tell you a story, and here we go.
It's bad to be sexually immoral. She didn't want to give away a precious cargo, but she didn't see any harm in letting dudes borrow. So dudes borrowed like there was no tomorrow. I was playing a role, but not a role model. And what do you know, playing the numbers that we was playing, sooner or later a sperm hit the lotto. Cash prize, baby is coming in. Like a nose that's cold, your daddy was running in. It's all fun and game till somebody gets hurt. You had hunger pains, so we had to get work. So now it's just work, and it's working the nerves. What was once precious cargo, kicked to the curb. We didn't choose commitment, we chose to flirt. And even though we separated, we loved the birth. But what is worth?
What happened to the ending?
I thought it was love. Maybe I really should think about if it was just lust. When I think harder, I never truly imagine us spending life for the long haul and such and such. And at the time, it was such a rush, feeding for touch. As if someone said break a leg, I needed a crutch. Now it's obvious it was really two bodies that connected without being connected to God's promises. I was so out of touch with the consequences. Now I live in a constant state, numbing my senses. I try to put a positive spin on my circumstances. Truth be told, I would tell you to wait for true romance. And no wedding, no moon. Two parents better than one, that's real true. Not to mention the black family's no longer trending. To the point where baby mamas and daddies are winning. And the devil's grinning. They say we sleep in the bed that we made, and under the cloak of covers, kids tend to play. And that's when it gets complicated, but I'm still glad you made it. And for you, I continue to push to this day. And everybody asks me how I'm looking so happy without a partner involved, a traditional family. I tell them, it takes a village to raise a child, until the village gets the message I'm living the here and now. And I'm fighting back proud.
What happened to the
man? What happened to the man?
Yeah.
Cameron. Shout out to Taja. Shout out to Arrested Development, Jacqueline, Sonia, to Crystalline, No Wedding, No Womb Movement, JJ Boogie, Spurge.
Welcome back to Black Talk Radio News. Scotty Reed on this broadcast from behind what I call the enemy lines of USA Inc. We just heard from Speech, which the brother is of Arrested Development fame, a gifted producer and lyricist in his own right, who I actually, years ago, back in 2008, during the Ron Paul campaign, who he was supporting for president back in 2008, had an opportunity, yours truly, to interview Speech. And I think that's in the Blog Talk Radio archives, because that's where we started in, I started there in 2007, but Black Talk Radio was launched in 2008. So shout out to Speech and the whole Arrested Development crew. Welcome back again for this Monday broadcast here in this afternoon. Coming up at 6 o'clock p.m. Eastern Time will be Tando Radio Show, and at 8 o'clock they will be followed, 2 hours later, followed by Melanated Roots. So, played the clip of Diamond and Silk. I don't know the lady's real name. I could have looked it up, but it wasn't really that important for the story. They go by Diamond and Silk. People call them Diamond and Silk, so they seem to be fine with that. But I played the video clip of the two ladies speaking to Representative Hakeem Jeffries, and I was quite, I shouldn't say, I don't want to sound like I'm exaggerating, but I was kind of feeling for the young ladies that they didn't quite understand the questions and what was being said. And the one lady talking about bringing up some fake news, oh, I see you must watch fake news. And I don't want to use the terms that racists use when they refer to black people, how we can get or we're perceived. But again, this is behavior that you see all across the planet. People getting belligerent, getting emotional, and saying things that are inappropriate in the context of the conversation. So, but she took it as they were accusing that Representative Jeffries was accusing them of lying, when in fact, he clarified it later that he was accusing the Trump campaign, his presidential campaign for 2016, of lying on a federal elections campaign financial form, a record. And in fact, if these ladies weren't paid consultants, if they weren't doing any kind of field consultant work, and that's one of those titles that you could just slap on, you know, for somebody, that title has been used for people who have been paid as much as $15,000 to give one speech. And that's what Diamond and Silk did when they went to, I don't remember if it was one of the Trump campaign's many different rallies, conventions, whatever you want to call them. Yeah, it had to be one of his campaign events, and brought them in, because according to the lady's testimony to Congress, Diamond and Silk paid for their own way to get to wherever this convention was, where the two ladies gave a speech. According to my research, people who have had similar roles as spokespeople, whether they're going on TV, whether they're producing media, you're supposed to disclose that, okay? And I'm not alleging that that's what occurred here, because Diamond and Silk wasn't paid by Donald Trump and wasn't paid by the Donald Trump campaign. For them to put on what I'm reluctantly, but I have to say, minstrel show, because it's the word that comes to mind, because I know what Trump's base is based on the campaign that he ran, the racism, the whistles, the rhetoric, things that people who are out there, like Diamond and Silk, talking good about the Trump campaign and encouraging people to vote for Donald Trump and to continue to support his administration and the policies that they put. A lot of people were doing that. But they weren't getting paid. They were doing that, but they was doing it on their own dime. That's an insult to them, don't you think? That's an insult. That sounds like slavery to me. No wages is slave wages, right? When people have been paid as much as $15,000 for one speech, and then the ladies indicated they were encouraged to join by somebody with the last name of Trump. I think she said Laura Trump. To join the women's, some kind of women's auxiliary group for Trump. Talk about the days of gender segregation, you know. But they were encouraged. They did not indicate if they joined or not. But the very least, if you're going to use these ladies to so-called court the black vote, which isn't what the intent was from what I can gather. The intent was to put on a minstrel show, entertainment. We found two ladies who drank wine and have funny things to say about politics, even though they don't know nothing about politics by their own admission, no experience whatsoever, didn't care about politics until Donald Trump began to run and then said that Obama, looking back, didn't do anything for Chicago. And that's true. But these are political novices who Donald Trump apparently encouraged them to keep putting out them videos. That's what they mean by monetizing their videos. Keep putting out them videos on YouTube. YouTube might pay you. They might censor your stuff based off of whatever they rules are, because they can do that. It's their platform, like these two ladies are saying Facebook deemed their content unsafe. I didn't watch their content to call it unsafe or have an opinion about it, but I knew that these were two political novices pretty much doing what they do on Comedy Central, on The Daily Show, talking about political issues and telling cracking jokes and stuff like. So I wasn't subscribed to their channel, didn't watch their channel, didn't even care to watch a clip. They came across the social media news feed. That's, you know, I read what I needed to read about them. I heard the excerpts from other people covering it on the shows, and so I had no interest. So lots of people are trying to monetize their political content on YouTube. Donald Trump telling them to do something or encouraging them to do something like that, I don't see the violation of law in that. There is no violation of law, but it's just that these women don't get how they were just used like two old washerwoman slaves or something. Man, let me not use derogatory terms. But they were used as slaves. That what else do you? How else do you define unpaid labor? How much money it cost them, according to these ladies? $1,000 wasn't much money. About $1,200. It's in the campaign disclosure that the Trump campaign filed, listing that they paid these women as so-called field consultants, and all they did was bring them in as a speech, but they didn't pay them no consultant giving a speech money. They didn't pay them at all. They just allegedly, as Diamond and Silk or both agree, I'm not sure which one said it or both said it in the clip, that this was a reimbursement for our plane tickets and our accommodations, and Trump told his campaign to reimburse us. So this was unpaid labor, y'all. This was unpaid labor. Now, I'm sure that there are plenty of people who would jump at that opportunity. Unknown YouTube people just trying to get some likes and some shares and a bunch of views. And not that I'm making light of that. I think there are some great YouTube channels and people putting out some good information. That's why I subscribe to their channels. But this was like Comedy Central, though, from what I could gather. And like Comedy Central's The Daily Show, they'll share some truth. So then, I mean, who can dispute the fact that Obama didn't do anything to substantially address any issue, let alone gun violence in Chicago? But just cause we lace some things with some truth, we lace a little bit of truth in a big batch of lies, and talking about things that we don't even have enough information or experience in to be talking about. So you not understanding that the reason all these millions of white people, or you're getting millions of views from suspected racists, is because you're putting on a minstrel show and they're entertained. And it gives them great joy to argue with their arch enemies in the chat room and in the comments. White neoliberals arguing with white neoconservatives. If we're talking Trump's base, we're talking suspected racists. And they're going to defend you against black people who criticize you, just like people are defending Candace Owens for putting on her minstrel show, saying she has a right to get paid to, at least Candace Owens getting paid by one of those right-wing organizations. I think it's Turning Points USA, something like other sort. So she's getting paid. But let's recognize she ain't paid to tell no truths. And I covered that in a past broadcast when I was co-hosting for Dave on Tando Radio Show. Something under the title Black Conservatives Make Appeal to Black Voters to Change Plantations. Why would you leave one plantation and only go to another political plantation? But speaking of plantations, though, I'm saying that President Trump's campaign disrespected these black women, took advantage of these black women. They could have gave them a job with the campaign to continue to go give speeches or continue to talk about them on their YouTube channel. Just disclose that they are paid consultants for the. They could have made some money, but they didn't even get the butter biscuits for selling out. Basically, they saw business opportunity. Well, they don't seem to be to have the business acumen to know that they should have got paid for what they was doing, that other people was getting paid. You better believe Ivanka Trump was getting paid, Kellyanne Conway was getting paid, all of these surrogates, is their call, who was doing Diamond and Silk. Y'all was out there stomping for Trump for free. Everybody else was getting paid. You was trying to get paid off of YouTube views from a bunch of suspected racists getting giggles off of what you saying. Because that, you know, pretty much they had the audience, I would presume, like Fox News, where less than 2% of the Afro-American population actually tunes into that radio, that television or news cable propaganda outlet. So I really don't have much more to say about that. Well, I do have some things to say. I don't think they broke the law, because some of the people are asking, well, did they commit perjury? No, I don't think they committed perjury. I think they told the truth, that they had no idea that Donald Trump's campaign put in a federal finance election commission form and reported that they paid these ladies as for some field consultancy work, whatever that's supposed to mean, but has applied in the past to people who did what they did and given political speeches at political events. As much as $15,000, I found somebody was paid for one speech back in 2000. I forget whose campaign it was, but big money, that's why they raised billions of dollars. I mean, you look at how all that money that Barack Obama raised, that billion he raised, and Hillary Clinton, that billion she raised, people close to them. extended family, maybe in-laws or something. They got paid, man. They got paid under so-called consultancy work. Brought in as campaign advisors and what have you, and getting paid. Director of communications, the outreach, black voter outreach, whatever you want to call it. People making five figures, six figures. Some even some firms, because you have consultancy firms, have gotten millions of dollars for working on these campaigns. So you, again, this just points to the evidence that the ladies are being truthful and that they're political novices. And I know Representative Hakeem Jeffries was trying to assuage the ladies that he wasn't hating on them, that he respect that game out here trying to get paid off these racists and what have you. Although it's not something I would do, but, you know, and she's saying it's not a game. Well, it's not a game. It's a game, but you're not in the game because you don't understand the rules. You don't know how the game, the capitalist game, is played. So if you're going to play, play it right. But this is not me in no means endorsing people to get paid to tell lies for anybody. Or to get on television and talk about that which they don't know by anybody, by any political party, any political campaign. Just don't do it. It's not ethical. You're selling your soul, so to speak. And in Diamond and Silk's case, I'll say they were enslaved. They allowed themselves to be enslaved and doing work and not getting paid. And the Trump campaign, I believe, committed a FCC reporting violation by claiming to pay these women when they didn't. They just reimbursed the women for their travel. That's not a consultant. That's not field work. But they did field work. They did consulting work by giving a speech asking people to vote for Donald Trump. All right, I'm going to take another station identification break, short tunes, and then I'm going to close out this broadcast and podcast with a story about international human rights, where we have even, and I've had my suspicions about them in the past, even though they have signed on to some campaigns for political prisoners that I thought helped make a difference, especially in the case of the Angola 3. But Amnesty International has a call out for a military arms embargo on Israel. And, you know, we got these IDF soldiers who are being captured on numerous videos shooting unarmed protesters, some of them children. Not that age should matter. If you're unarmed, if you're protesting, involved in a political protest, if you're following in the footsteps of Gandhi or Dr. King, you're not out there about to invade the border with arms, and you're saying, hey, I have a right to return to my land that you stole from my great-grandparents, that you violently removed my family from. Okay? And then you just gonna send your soldiers out and shoot them down in the street? And you, those of you who are, let's just say, citizens of countries where you're paying taxes and that taxpayer, some of that taxpayer money, I don't care what nation, whether we're talking about the United States or any other nation that's providing so-called military aid to Israel. You're a party to war crimes. You really are. And we like on this station and on different programs, we talk about what's known as financial energy. Well, that's some of our financial energy, and that energy is being used in a egregious way to violate people's human rights. And so we should speak over our finances and how our finances are being used. And if you're against little children and members of the press and old people and everyone in between being shot down for engaging in a political protest, something we so-called value in the United States called free speech. They just had a at a White House correspondence dinner. Not that I endorse it, but hey, first, it's free speech supposed to be one of the cornerstones of democracy. Why is the United States backing Israel's decision to treat these unarmed people like they are an invading army? And why are U.S. citizens tolerating this? So we'll listen to a news report from the area, and I tell you, I'll also share this story about Natalie Portman, who is a Israeli-American actress who was known for her iconic role in the iconic anti-police state film V for Vendetta. It's in my top 10 films, and she was given an award by some organization based there that includes a $1 million check, and she is boycotting, I think, because Netanyahu is also scheduled to speak there. And, you know, she cites the prime minister's policies and him being a vile human being. I don't know if she called him a vile human being, but, you know, cited him as the reason why she can't accept this award. All right, so you're listening to Black Talk Radio News. My name is Scotty Reed. Subscribe to the podcast to get the latest podcast. I do these live shows whenever I can, so there's no set schedule. But if you subscribe to the show, you'll definitely never miss an episode. So let's take this break, and then we'll come back and close it out with that story.
Make Black Talk Radio your choice for digital black radio. New black media for the new millennium.
Because it's evil. Well, white supremacy is a system. And what does white supremacy really mean? It just doesn't mean somebody being in charge. No one should care about who's in charge of anything. If the person is not mistreating people, white supremacy is about mistreating people based on what? Based on the color in the skin of those people who are being mistreated. That's all it is. It's a form of mistreatment. There are all kinds of mistreatment in the world, but that's the greatest form of mistreatment. That's why it's supreme, because it's the greatest form of mistreatment. If you want to look for mistreatment of the people anywhere on the planet, most people are being mistreated based on color. That's what it is. You know, if it's just two people on earth, I mean, one person might mistreat another person just because the person is jealous or envious or something. Yeah. There's all kinds of ways to mistreat people for all kinds of reasons. But this business about racism is about mistreating people based on color.
Freestyle. Free like birds and trees, free like open seas, free like the change of seasons, and that is the reason we need to stop killing American soldiers without a reason. Freestyle. Fighting a war for money, control, and America's own treason. Disloyal to our own, but we go to other nations and we make their houses our homes. What about our homes? What about our houses? In this war that ain't about you, ain't about me, and damn sure ain't about America's civil liberties. Cause we got Americans dying behind gunfights, crooked cops, babies crying, presidents lying, black men a statistic, AIDS, and this shit is quite twisted. The streets sweep, babies missing, and mamas wishing they daddies was there, and it makes me want to holler because it seems like we no longer care. Freestyle, free life, freeing the street soldiers from this war in progress, because it's on the street too, and it too is about greed and power. We need the government to wake up and take a truth shower. We need us to get us free, because they don't know what's best. Probably ain't never seen 7-year-old little boys wearing bulletproof vests to protect their chest, because ghetto children run free, and they run free through free bullets that's ready to rip through chest. Free bullets ready to lay to rest anyone in their way. See, free bullets run free through playgrounds where ghetto children run free all day. Freestyle, let me await to see the day when I am free like birds that fly high up in the sky, flapping wings able to elevate while my mind accumulates thoughts of being free, because my voice is not free like freedom of speech should be. Freestyle.
Like a spoiled child with well-to-do parents, like not only being royal but standing and planning as the heir apparent. That's how it should be. Freestyle. Without FCC sons of piles calling out fouls, or free like anarchy in the streets and the rippling roars of the crowds, like taxi drivers do rules written in stone. Freestyle the way the
FBI can tap all our phones. Free to be me and do whatever I want to do, and freestyle so they can be them and you can be you too. I want mine totally, completely, absolutely, unconditionally free. No rules or regulations of what could, should, or might happen to what they be. No values claim, no limits to the game, no special names you need to know to get in. No chains, leashes, leases, or theses on how far I can take my journey or what criteria this poet needs to fill and fit in. Free to see glass ceilings shattered and the shards sent to the discard pile. Full freestyle.
That's how it should be. Freestyle, never repressing my thoughts, locking my words, stressing the verbs and I'm because my speech is not free like the wind that blows this supposed liberation throughout this tired-ass nation. While I sit on rooftops reading the alphabet versus the ghetto and screaming out, don't die, civil liberties, don't die. Hoping my voice is heard through the nation's mountaintops. And the Emancipation Proclamation said I was free over 200 years ago, but my soul still don't feel so. While the Statue of Liberty presents a false reality of freedom, more fake than reality TV, because she just does not reflect me. My voice locked up and locked inside my body. Without words, I can never be free. So I look at myself and try not to see myself as a nigga they wanted me to be. Free like birds is what I wish to be. No longer picking cotton on your plantation. My arms tired, my legs weak, feeling like my life has succumbed to your damnation. And without justification, it seems I have become a slave to hip-hop beats and Rhythm Nation. Ignorance spoken at its highest height, played on every radio station because they think that could be tight. Rocking expensive clothes, we calling ourselves bitches and hoes, and we think we free shit. We more oppressed than I ever guessed. Soul searching, looking for spiritual salvation while listening to outcast liberation, trying to break the chains of enslavement and mental degradation. Freestyle like running in the night, trying to find the light in the window, reaching for our foundation so we can start a new creation. Freestyle like freeing words of the good book that have been brought to translation and freeing me from all accusation from this nation, because it seems like I've vented all my frustration in this poem that I've called Freestyle, my lyrical libation. Freestyle, that's how it should be. That's how it should be.
And welcome back to Black Talk Radio News. So we're going to listen to this news report. It's only about a minute, 2 minutes and a half. But first, and these are linked up for you in the description on the podcast page. Israel, this is from amnesty.org. And this is the website of Amnesty International. And on April the 27th, so this was 3 days ago, they put out a call for an arms embargo. So it's titled Israel, Arms Embargo Needed as Military Unlawfully Kills and Maims Gaza Protesters. So who is Amnesty International primarily talking to? The United States. United States, don't quote me, probably has an exclusive military contract. They can only contract with U.S.-based arms manufacturers, but they're calling on Congress to pass an embargo, unlike what they did, the exact opposite of what the Obama administration did when they were killing people in Gaza and dropped so many, used up so many munitions. They had the special order, put some on expedited order for more bombs and bullets. They were dropping so many on them poor Gazians. So that's, you know, where John Lewis at? You love, and the media loves to give us the image of him walking with King. Whenever there is a rebellion in the street against modern day slavery and human trafficking and the slave catcher violence, oh, look to the example of Dr. King. Dr. King told y'all that it was going to be, that America was a burning house, because you won't practice justice and the people who are affected the most by your injustice is going to burn it down. That's the burning house he was talking about. But you want to talk about Dr. King and his legacy of nonviolence while you sit up there and you fund violence against those walking in the footsteps of Dr. King. I'm surprised that this didn't happen in the 1960s during the civil rights movement. Instead of just putting fire hoses on them and sicking dogs on them, I'm sure Bull Connor would love to have the green light to just shoot them down in the streets and call it a riot or call it a alien invasion or whatever. Could you imagine if right now that caravan that made its way through parts of South America, through Mexico, to the U.S. border. You may have heard about that caravan where these people are asking for political asylum because of the violence that has been created in their nation, with the main policy that's creating this violence being U.S. drug war policies that are imposed upon these other nations if they want to keep getting U.S. aid. Whether that's military equipment, military training, or straight up subsidies, cash, grants, I guess we would properly call them. Could you imagine if National Guard's troops was shooting these people down, these women and children, these journalists who are accompanying them right there on the U.S. southern border? I imagine a lot of people, I would like to imagine that more people would be outraged and would mobilize to our borders to put a stop to such a human rights crimes, to such a brutal massacre against unarmed defenseless people. I would like to think the majority of Americans would be against something like that. But then again, I don't know for sure, you know, based off of the imagery and the rallies and the rhetoric that comes from these people who identify with a person like Donald Trump, whose father was in the Ku Klux Klan, had been arrested for violence. And again, the United States State Department has signed on to this. So, is, you know, when you do things like this, And I'm not encouraging anyone hearing the sound of my voice out there, no matter where you may be in the world, I'm not encouraging quote unquote terrorist attacks. You know, when you attack civilians, when you get in vans and run into civilians because you hate women, or you try to blow up a concert in Paris or London, wherever that occurred, with civilian casualties, those are not legitimate military targets. Okay? So let's get that out the way. But when the United States fund this kind of violence all across the planet, you got to see the United States as being a legitimate military target, whether you're talking about the State Department, CIA, anybody operating overseas, these liaisons and stuff. This is what you're funding. You're funding the killing of women and children and men who don't deserve to be murdered and killed for expressing themselves nonviolently, from engaging in the human activity of standing up against oppression. Again, nonviolently. So how do you justify this violence against them unless you use racialized or dehumanizing language to suggest that these human beings are the equivalent of cockroaches to be crushed under Benjamin Netanyahu's boot? Some of the same language we hear coming from right-wing conservatives about during the immigration debate. So, I stand with Amnesty International, and people like John Lewis should be introducing something right now. But, you know, he did vote for to rearm Israel in his last offensive against civilians. So it's time to lay these symbols behind, because the people that this symbolism is attached to are not worthy of it. All right, so Israel, this is what they wrote, and I'll get ready to close out. Israel is carrying out a murderous assault against protesting Palestinians with its armed forces, killing and maiming demonstrators who pose no imminent threat to them, Amnesty International revealed today, based on its latest research as the Great March of Return protests continued in the Gaza Strip. So same place that they attacked these defenseless people in during the Obama administration. The Israeli military has killed 35 Palestinians and injured more than 5,500 others, some with what appear to be deliberately inflicted life-changing injuries. You know, like shooting somebody in the eye, blowing off an arm, blowing off a leg, you know, shooting them, and they had to have a kidney bag or a colostomy bag the rest of their life. Life-altering injuries. They're maiming them. Amnesty International has renewed its call on governments worldwide to impose a comprehensive arms embargo on Israel following the country's disproportionate response to mass demonstrations along the fence that separates the Gaza Strip from Israel. For 4 weeks, so it's been going on a month, the world has watched in horror as Israeli snipers and other soldiers in full protective gear and behind the fence have attacked Palestinian protesters with live ammunition and tear gas. Despite wide international condemnation, the Israeli army has not reversed its illegal orders to shoot unarmed protesters, said Magdalena Mughrabi, Deputy Regional Director for the Middle East and North Africa at Amnesty International. So they're, when they talk about illegal orders, they're citing international law. Israel has long shown contempt for international law, as well as the United States, France, the UK, you know, that whole European and American bloc there. And Israel is no different. It's pretty clear to see when we talk about rogue nations, who the rogue nations of the world are. So it's pretty easy. I mean, I'm sorry. You can go to this document published on amnesty.org. Again, the title is Israel: Arms Embargo Needed as Military Unlawfully Kills and Maims Gaza Protesters. Because they have, it's quite a long article. I say maybe 3 pages, and it's definitely, I can't read the 3 pages to you, but I will let you listen to this 2.5 minute clip titled Israel Verifies Video of Sniper Shooting Palestinians on Gaza Border.
This Israeli soldier has in his sights a Palestinian, apparently unarmed, standing a few meters beyond the separation fence that divides Israel from Gaza. Just by being there, this man is, according to Israel's military regulations, a legitimate target for a sniper. The army imposes a minimum 100-meter buffer zone into Gaza's territory. It's a regulation with no backing in international law. The video seems to have been shared on social media by one of the soldiers. We don't know who the victim is or what he was doing in the time before he was shot. Israel's military says it happened in December. The delight the sniper's colleagues take in hitting their target doesn't change the fact that the Israeli military won't consider the sniper's actions unlawful. That's according to one human rights group here.
Keep hearing that anybody who is coming close to the fence will be shot, and anybody who is participating in those demonstrations is part of the Hamas, and they want to destroy Israel, everybody is a terrorist, or the demonstrations are totally illegitimate. So if the public debate here that is being conducted by the and being led by the political level is on that level, that showing the Palestinian as not deserving the same rights as any other person, it's not surprising that this is the result.
In a state.
Now, I'm going to keep it short there. That comes to you from Al Jazeera YouTube channel. I'm going to leave it there. So, but this also ties into some ideology concerning human rights that we hear in the black community. Now, these are Palestinians. It doesn't matter that they call themselves Palestinians. I don't know a lot about the Palestinian people. I do know that they had villages, but I don't know if they had tribal affiliations or anything like that. In terms of their skin color, from copper brown to dark skinned people, like the young lady about 12 years old in the photo I use for promoting today's BTR news. And that, so you have people of different skin colors, from copper tone to what we call black people, who are Palestinians, which is a nationality. Okay? And so these people are not, no matter what they call themselves, are not being afforded human rights, and they're being shot down by the thousands, not by the hundreds, but by the thousands in this 4-week period. There has been no UN Security Council meeting, emergency meeting called. Congress, no one in Congress has called for emergency review of this situation. And if they're going to stop sending bullets and bombs and outlaw the sale of these bullets and bombs to a military, the military of a government that is in blatant and gross violation of international law pertaining to human rights. Again, it doesn't matter what you call yourself or what you look like. What matters is who he who has the power to oppress, and whether or not he oppresses you or not. Respect your rights as a human being to live and breathe and possess your own land. There's no justice being practiced in Palestine or Israel, or I should more accurately say the occupied territories of Palestine. There's no justice. So on that note, we are going to end today's broadcast of BTR News. I want to thank my guest, Kwabena Rasuli from Clear the Airways Project, for dropping in to give his thoughts on vulgar words being used in the public vernacular. So we want to thank him for his great work. And I want to thank you all for listening, and especially a special thank you to those who make financial contributions and share their energy with the Black Talk Media Project, so that we can turn that energy into black media that matters. Recognize the fact that we who live in the United States are behind the enemy lines of USA Inc., especially depending upon how the system has classified us or has compiled us into databases, identifying us as people to be abused and practice slavery against. You have to definitely recognize what's happening and be moved. And I feel like abolition is the answer, as Max would say. Be worth a revolution so we can finally know peace. All right, peace and blessings to all. Be safe out there.